Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, and supporters of this station. And sometimes I even put on very controversial programs that I don't necessarily agree with, but I want you to have the opportunity to hear the information and really decide for yourself. And that is really what we're going to be doing today. This is going to be a controversial program, and it's going to be talking about a new book that's out. It's called Billy Graham's Friends. Now, our guest today, Dr. Kathy Burns, has wrote a book, Billy Graham and His Friends. And, of course, the establishment that manipulates and controls what we believe and how we feel about things has written another book. And I've seen the same, and the new book is called Billy Graham's Friends. It's published by an establishment publisher, and it is a counter to Dr. Burns' book. Now, Dr. Burns simply raised some questions in her book about some of the things that have happened through the years. And we're not really going to be talking about her book so much as the new book that's been put forward. And you wonder why somebody would publish a book counter the suggestion that Dr. Burns certainly doesn't say that Billy Graham was ever a Mason, but that perhaps he was a Mason because of so many of the things that had happened, and in fact he was surrounded by Masons in the Billy Graham Association. And of course, for those of you who don't know, the Masonry is an occult religion, and the tragedy is it has permeated the Protestant Church and the Catholic Church. And of course, as we said last night, we had a fascinating interview with a man who had been a 33rd degree Mason and then promoted into the rites of Mithras and Memphis and Mithraeum. The Masons have actually infiltrated the Protestant Church at every level, which is one reason why our nation is in the sorry state it is today. Dr. Burns, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me again.
Well, now, of course, what's this new book about that somebody has published to counter your book? And who actually published that?
Well, it was published by Time Warner, and it's called Billy Graham, A Tribute from Friends. So when I saw it advertised in Saturday Evening Post and I saw the names on the cover, in fact, here's just the cover, I'll read from it. These are some of those who have given endorsements for Graham or a tribute. George H.W. Bush, Jimmy Carter, Bill Clinton, Gerald Ford, Kay Arthur, Bill Bright, David Yonggi Cho, Chuck Colson, James Dobson, Elizabeth Elliott, Jack Hayford, Mike Huckabee, D. James Kennedy, Louise Palau, Ruth S. Peel, James Robeson, Dale Evans Rogers, Robert Shuler, Johnny Erickson Tada, Ken Taylor, Zig Ziglar, and many others.
Well, of course, some of those people are some of the really fine, leading and prominent Christians, and some of them are my friends. But there are many, many others in there that we have to ask necessarily why. But why would they bother to put this book together unless they were trying to counter your book?
I don't know. I have no idea why it came out.
And, of course, Time Warner, anybody who doesn't know, Time Warner is part of the entire problem. They are part of this whole occult establishment that has been involved in this whole thing. They they are deeply involved in this whole effort at mind control. So they published a new book really to more or less counter your book. I personally have the greatest respect for Dr. James Dobson. Did a wonderful, wonderful job. Of course, I sometimes think that you really can't get to James Dobson. He is surrounded by people who more or less control him and very, very effectively. And I know very well at one time when he had taken a very strong position on one side, why his ministry came out with exactly the opposite position. This had to do with the amendment to the Constitution for the so-called prayer amendment, which would have codified into law forever the decisions of the Supreme Court. And when that was going before the legislature why the Dobson Association put out a fax that did not represent Dr. Dobson's views. When I pointed this out to him, when I had a chance to meet him, he was horrified. He couldn't believe that, wanted to see the facts. I sent it to him, and of course, I was told 6 months later he'd seen it, but no comment at all about why he would take one position and the association would take the other. But I'm doing all the talking. Dr. Burns, what is the significance of this book?
Well, when I looked at that and I saw all the names on there, again, like you mentioned, there are some that are very highly respected among the evangelicals. Some seem to be like better people. Most of them are ecumenical. But some of them do seem to be, you know, at least more against abortion, against homosexuality, and things like this. But when I saw names such as Jimmy Carter, Bush, Clinton, Ford, David Yonggi Cho, Norma Vincent Peale's wife, I started thinking, you know, this just proves my book, because I had mentioned many of those very same people in my book, I exposed the Masonic connection.
And certainly we know that George Herbert Walker Bush was a Freemason, as well as a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, Skull and Bones, Bilderberger Trilateral Commission, head of the CIA, a real joiner.
Right, and when these people would start to recommend and give a tribute to Graham, you start saying, is there a problem here? Is Graham a Mason? I've never come out and said he is, and the reason why, this will take a few minutes, but I think I can give some very interesting information here, because, see, there's so much conflicting information. If you write to the Billy Graham organization and say, is Billy Graham a Mason, you will most likely get a letter saying no. But when people would write back and say, but now wait, there is a former Mason there, a 33rd degree Mason, Jim Shaw, he saw him at his initiation. Then there was a Dr. Nelson from the organization, and he wrote back. He says, well, if Graham was there, it was only as a guest. Well, there's a real big problem with this, because there are no guests at that initiation. Even the wives are not allowed to attend. And Jim Shaw himself had mentioned, he said, since there'd be almost nothing that my wife Bonnie could participate in, she just didn't even go with me. I went alone. So, you know, for him to be there, it was not as a guest. I also have a friend who was a former witch, and he visited a Masonic lodge in San Francisco, and he asked the person in charge there if Graham was a Mason, and immediately the man said he was. I know of others who have gone to the Masonic headquarters in Washington, D.C., and asked about Graham being a Mason, and they also were told he was. I think also what's interesting is there's a book by Forrest D. Haggard, a Mason and a minister, and it's called Clergy and the Craft, and this was printed back in 1970 already. And he says that all those who gave endorsements in this book were proud to be both clergy and Mason. And Graham happens to have an endorsement in that book.
Well, we'll be back here in just a moment with Dr. Burns. And certainly right now we'd like to talk a little bit about the occult influence that permeates every aspect of our society. And certainly part of that occult influence can be found in a special we put together called The Pagan Agenda. Have you ever wondered why America is in the trouble it is today? Why, certainly, what was once a great Christian and vibrant nation is no longer a Christian nation at all? Well, you really need, of course, to get into the background of the forces and the occult forces that work here, always work within behind the scenes, and, of course, the term occult means simply hidden. We might use a better term, esoteric or arcane. Those are the terms that they use. But there really is a pagan force within America aimed at demoralizing the society. All you need to do is turn on television, watch so many of the rock festivals, things of that sort. Watch television and see how they glamorize homosexuality, how fun it is. And whether you're listening to Jay Leno, whether you're listening to, so many of our programs, Will and Grace, they all have this underlying theme. There's really nothing wrong with homosexuality. It's just sort of funny. And, of course, the tragedy is that this is a deadly disease. It kills people. That's why so many people are dying today. But the media is controlled and, of course, is manipulating our reality. Well, if you want to understand the pagan agenda, let me suggest you give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And get our special on the pagan agenda. Or get the book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. All of these things and many more are available by calling us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today. Well, our special guest today is Dr. Kathy Burns, and of course she's talking about a book that was written to counter her book, Billy Graham and His Friends. And of course, mentioning, certainly Dr. Graham has done a wonderful job. He's brought many, many people to the Lord. He's done had a powerful, powerful ministry and been a powerful force here in the United States for many, many years. And of course, when we see some people like Norman Vincent Peale or Robert Schuller unfortunately doesn't believe you have to be a Christian to get to heaven. Robert Schuller doesn't believe in calling people sinners or ever telling people they're a sinner because that would hurt their self-esteem. And Robert Schuller seems to have a different gospel than certainly the traditional gospel. And the same would hold true for Norman Vincent Peale and so many of the people that Time Warner picked to put in this book for endorsements. Isn't that really true?
That is true. For instance, like you mentioned, Robert Schuller, well, he's a 33rd degree Mason.
Well, a 33rd degree Mason, and how could a 33rd degree Mason be a Christian minister?
I don't see how. I really don't, because once you've gone through those initiation rites and taken those blood oaths, and when you go through the 25th degree, you're wearing a collar that has the names of like Osiris and Isis on the collar, and all these pagan items, and you're taking one of the passwords in the degree, I believe it's the 17th degree, is Abaddon, and of course the Bible tells us that he was the king over hell. When you're taking these type oaths and doing this, I know some of them have no idea. They're ignorant to it. They don't really realize paganism, but it's there, and if they would just as much as look at it, I think that they would be convicted, and I don't see how they could be in it. But see, this is what I'm saying. A lot of these, out of the 56 endorsements or tributes in this book, I know that at least 8 of these men are Masons. There may be more, but I'm aware of 8 of them. And of course, Schuller is one. And of course, he's a friend of Graham. And it was Graham who encouraged Schuller to start his own TV program. There was an interview with Schuller that appeared in USA Today. And when he was asked how did he begin televising his services, he responded like this. He said, quote, "In September 1969, Billy Graham had a crusade in Anaheim, which he was televising. I found that fascinating, and out of that came his suggestion that we start doing it week by week for the benefit of the people who couldn't come out and attend church," unquote. But like you mentioned, Schuller has said in 1984 already that I don't think anything has been done in the name of Christ and under the banner of Christianity that has proven more destructive to human personality and hence counterproductive to the evangelism enterprise than the often crude, uncouth, and unchristian strategy of attempting to make people aware of their lost and sinful condition. Of course, as you know, the Bible tells us it's a faithful saying and worthy of all expectation that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And God commended his love toward us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Romans 5:8. So to tell a person that they're a sinner and to convert them from the error of the way is really the most loving thing we could really do. On top of that, Schuller endorses all types of Eastern meditation, such as TM, Zen Buddhism, yoga. He has a group at his Crystal Cathedral called CAMP, which is Christians and Muslims for Peace. And he told Imam Alfred Muhammad of the Muslim American Society that he wouldn't be bothered if he came back in 100 years and found that his descendants were Muslims. So, and then this is the person who can write and say, you know, give a tribute to Graham, and it was Graham who actually had him get started. You're wondering where Graham's discernment was if he really were a true man of God.
Well, of course, he could be a man of God, and men of God make mistakes too, though.
We do, but 100, 1,000 times. I mean, anybody can make a mistake, but when it's done over and over and over, and there's no discernment whatsoever, it appears, you start wondering if he really could be a man of God.
Well,
and he does have some truth.
But he's touched so many lives, and he's certainly brought so many people to the Lord. Now, for Robert Schuller, of course, the idea that we're not a sinner, this, of course, is totally contrary to the conventional teachings of the gospel, or I should say the traditional teachings of the gospel. The trouble is that we don't teach people today that we're sinners saved by grace. We want everybody to feel good about themselves, and that's one reason why we have so much sin within the church, why literally half of Christian marriages end in divorce, why we have so much abortion in the church, because, of course, we don't preach the traditional gospel that was taught 100 years ago that we're sinners. And, of course, we're told we want to feel good about ourselves. We never want to have a feeling of guilt, and we never want to have a feeling that, that God may be a God of justice. We're never told that. We're only told that God is a God of love. So we've changed the nature of God as we've changed the music of the church. We've changed the teaching of the church. And then we wonder why, when we look at society and it reflects the church, why society is so corrupt.
But this is the type of sermons that a lot of people want to sit under because it does help their self-esteem. They don't feel guilty. But when they're standing before God in judgment, they're going to wish they would have had another preacher that would have told them about the wrong and sin that they could have been spared from the eternal judgment.
Well, I agree with you totally. In fact, one of the items we carry that you've written is called Hell or Whatever Happened to... What is it, Hell or Whatever Happened to...
The Scriptural View of Hell.
Right, The Scriptural View of Hell. And, of course, that actually prompted us to put together a 4-tape set on Hell. And you know the interesting thing about that? Nobody wants to buy the book. Nobody wants to buy the 4-tape set because people don't like to think about it. But you're far better off to think about it in this world and repent than to wait until, of course, the time comes when you stand before the bar of justice and stand before our Lord and will be judged. And you realize, of course, that you've had the entirely wrong scriptural view of hell. In fact, one of the big problems today is certainly most ministers don't talk about hell. But I've heard actually Billy Graham talk about hell. In fact, some of his sermons are the finest sermons I've heard, much more foundational than so many of the regular, ministers who seem to be wanting to make everybody feel good rather than convict them.
Well, Graham's views on hell have really changed over the years, though. At first, he used to preach it. But in The Prophet with Honor, written at Graham's request, it says that Graham did not automatically consign to hell all who never heard the Christian gospel preached. And then he goes on to say that he doesn't think someone like Albert Schweitzer, who denied the deed of Christ, but was given to good works, would be in hell. And he said, that really Hitler and Schweitzer shouldn't be in the same place. And then in 1983 already, Graham was asked, this was in the Orlando Sentinel, and he was asked why many Americans didn't accept the idea of hell. And he says, quote, "I think that hell essentially is separation from God forever, and that is the worst hell that I can think of. But I think people have a hard time believing God is going to allow people to burn in literal fire forever. I think the fire that is mentioned in the Bible is a burning thirst for God that can never be quenched," unquote. By July 1983, there was a book written by Graham and distributed at his Amsterdam conference, and it says in there, "Hell is not the most popular of preaching topics. I don't like to preach on it, but I must if I have to proclaim the whole gospel of God. We must not avoid warning of it." That sounds good. But then he goes on again to sort of symbolize it away, and he said that it's just basically the thirst. And, of course, by the November 15th issue of Time, he's saying, "When it comes to literal fire, I don't preach it because I'm not sure about it." And then finally, not real long ago, I guess it was, he was interviewed on television in England, and he was again asked about hell, and he says, "I do not believe in a literal hell now."
I don't believe in a literal hell?
Yeah.
Well, of course, Jesus talked a lot more about hell than he talked about heaven in the New Testament, didn't he?
Yes, he did. And this is, this one's saying, again, Graham's message is And if you hear just a few of them, you will hear a lot of good. But as it progresses, and then even Graham is so unique at given phraseology, like the New Agers and the Masons or whatever, they will say perhaps born again. But if you're talking to a Mason, they were born again at their initiation. It's not a spiritual concept that Jesus was teaching in John 3. If you're talking to a New Ager and you say born again, then, oh, yeah, I've been born again and born again and born again. That's called reincarnation. And Graham has ways, like even when he invites them forward, he has ways of them renewing their baptismal vows when they were babies instead of actually being, you know, coming forward to be, accept Christ as an adult when you're able to do it of your free will. He has it in such a way that a lot of those who were baptized as babies will say, oh, well, I'll renew my vow, but, you know, I was saved then. And it's not a personal salvation that they are making for themselves. They were depending on a baptism from their parents, see? And he's very, very cautious in words. He is a wordsmith, really. And he's getting messages across to different segments of that audience, and it's meaning different things to different people.
Now, what do you mean by, how would it mean different things to different people?
Well, like I just mentioned with the born again, you know, he can say born again, but he does it in such a way, instead of just to come out perhaps fully and explain John 3, that you must be born again to enter into heaven, he can just say it casually, and of course a New Ager sitting there, yeah, well, I believe in being born again, you know, there's reincarnation. Or like I mentioned, born again as a Mason, they've been born again at their initiation, and he doesn't fully explain the Christian terminology. He just says the word, and those sitting in the audience can take it to mean several different ways, you know, depending on what their orientation is.
All right, fine. Well, we're going to be back here in just a moment with Dr. Burns. And if you would like to comment, we'd be glad to hear from you here at Radio Liberty. But we want to just tell you a little bit about some of the items that we carry before we do that. And one of them, certainly, I want to mention is a product there, and we'll be telling you about that in just a moment here. Certainly would be the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum. And the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum is designed to take children from a grammar school all the way to a graduation from high school. The tests, the programs are there, the textbooks, everything you need to go from grammar school to high school for $199.95, and the only thing you have to buy are the Saxon mathematics books. And then, of course, we carry the Phonopoly program, and this is designed to teach children to read phonetically, to spell phonetically. It consists of 5 board games and 2 bonus games, and if the children will play this and spend 16 to 20 hours, they'll be able to read and spell and function on a phonetic level. And this is the most important gift you can give any child today.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi. Recently, a medical journal reported on the world's first proven remedy for the common cold, Allicin, the active ingredient in garlic. During winter months, a pure Allicin garlic extract reduced the risk of the common cold by 50%. This was demonstrated in a double-blind, placebo-controlled study, science's highest measure of effectiveness. Where do you get pure Allicin? You won't find it in store-bought garlic pills, but you'll find it in Alamax. Alamax provides the equivalent of 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. Where do you get Alamax? Dial this number now, 866-405-4000. Learn more about Alamax at 866-405-4000.
All right, Dr. Stan, and if you'd like to find out about how to get the Robinson Homeschool Curriculum or the Phonopoly, give us a call at 1-800-548-9-27, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. This is a fascinating 4-tape set, Genocide. And one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something You might as well tie up cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our 4-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today. Well, Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and certainly one of the great names in Christendom for many years was Norman Vincent Peale. But Norman Vincent Peale and his ideas certainly on the power of positive thinking and so many of the things he advocated really were all truly New Age concepts, weren't they, of using your mind to begin to manipulate your reality?
Yes, they were. Now, Norman Vincent Peale died about 7 years ago, so he could not write a tribute for this book. But his wife did write a tribute. And what I thought was quite interesting was that in an article written by Mrs. Peale, which had appeared in a Masonic magazine, the Scottish Rite Journal, that this was in 1995, and she wrote this, she said, quote, "Being a Freemason was an important part of the life of Norman Vincent Peale, and the Scottish Rite meant a great deal to him. He passed away on December 24, 1993, but I am keeping his message flowing out to both the Peale Center and Guidepost Magazine." And then just 2 days ago, I received the December 2002 issue of the Scottish Rite Journal, and I opened up the magazine, and there right on the centerfold was a picture of Mrs. Peale. She's celebrating her 96th birthday, and the article said that the head of Masonry, Siegfried Kleineck, and his wife were also two of the guests that were at the party, and they were not just celebrating her birthday, but the 50th anniversary of her husband's book, The Power of Positive Thinking. Well, of course, this book, like you mentioned, the New Age ideas, the concepts for the occult, and again, the article went on to mention that, of course, Peale was a lifelong supporter of Masonry, but Peale has not only just pushed this New Age message in his own books, but he has endorsed a book called The Jesus Letters. And this here was a channeled book. There were two psychics, basically, the one with the theosophist, James Halzer and Anna Brown, and they claimed that this channeled spirit guide by the name of Jesus came and gave them these automatic writing messages.
A channeled spirit guide named Jesus came to them?
Yes.
But these are theosophists, and of course, for our listeners out there, theosophy is a Luciferian religion. It was formed by Helena Petrovna Blavatsky back in the 1870s, and really some of the world's leading people have been there, people like Thomas Edison, Arthur Conan Doyle, Adolf Hitler, certainly Margaret Sanger. They were all theosophists. So a couple of theosophists are writing this book, and Norman Vincent Peale is really condoning it?
Well, here's what he wrote. Does this sound like a condonement? It says, like he's condoning, it says, "What a wonderful gift to all of us from you is your book, The Jesus Letters. You will bless many by this truly inspired book." And then he added this, quote, "It little matters if these writings came from Jesus of Nazareth or Jesus of James Halzer. They are all the same consciousness, and that consciousness is God. I am part of God, and Jane and Anna are part of that same God," unquote. So he certainly did endorse it. Then there's another book called Explore Your Psychic World. And there's a New Age brochure that describes this book like this. Quote, "It's one of the most thorough overviews of the psychic aspects of life in print today. It examines auras, astral travel, communication with discarnates, clairvoyance, possession, psychic attack, and dreams. When first published, it was hailed by Norman Vincent Peale as a great piece of work," unquote. And then he endorsed another book on spirit communication. It's called The Dead Are Alive. They Can and Do Communicate with You. And of that book, he said, quote, "a masterpiece. I hope it will be widely read," unquote. Well, of course, the book's author was Harold Sherman, and he's a psychic and a spirit medium. Peale, of course, denied the virgin birth, the deity, the resurrection, the vicarious satisfaction of Jesus Christ. He didn't believe that Jesus Christ was the only way to heaven. In 1984, on a Phil Donahue program, he said this, quote, "It's not necessary to be born again. You have your way to God, I have mine. I found eternal peace in a Shinto shrine. Christ is one of the ways. God is everywhere," unquote.
Who said this?
This is Norman Vincent Peale.
Norman Vincent Peale.
Yes.
One of the leading Protestant theologians of modern times.
But what shocks me even more is Billy Graham's endorsement of Norman Vincent Peale. On December 6, 1966, at a National Council of Churches luncheon, Graham said this, quote, "I don't know anyone who has done more for the kingdom of God than Norman and Ruth Peale, or have meant any more in my life, the encouragement they have given me," unquote. And even 30 years later, after Peale had died, Graham was still praising him. In his 1997 autobiography that Graham wrote, Just As I Am, he said this, quote, "Dr. Peale was warmly supportive of the meetings," meaning at Madison Square Garden in 1957. "Although our emphasis in preaching differed, I found him a deeply committed believer with a genuine concern that men and women give their lives to Christ," unquote. So it's his wife that has given an endorsement in this new book.
Well, I really sort of wonder why they would go to all this trouble to counter your book. And, you know, I remember many years ago, about 1960, when a friend of mine named Dan Spoot wrote a book called Invisible Government. And it really talked about the Council on Foreign Relations and, you know, its power over our government, because, of course, most of the presidents and most of the secretaries of state and most of the heads of the Federal Reserve System and most of the heads of the CIA, they all come from this same group, whether the Republicans or the Democrats are in power. Well, immediately somebody writes another book. It's called The Invisible Government. And, of course, when you go to the store and you ask for The Invisible Government, that's the one you get. And this use of a similar title has been used repeatedly to suppress important books.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, I would think that you would be sort of flattered that somebody would think enough of your book to come up with a book with an almost identical title, and anybody would go to a bookstore, they would get the other book, not yours.
Well, this is what Tex has been saying. He says people have been going in the bookstores, Tex Lawrence is. And he said they'll go into a bookstore and they'll ask for Billy Graham and his friends. And say, "Oh, this is the book you're asking for," and hand the other book. But I think it is flattering of sorts for the simple fact it proves that what I've said was correct, and they really couldn't counteract it, so they put out another one. But again, these people in this book, a lot of them, not all, again, there are some better well-known names within the evangelical movement, but a lot of them are either Skull and Bones, Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, or Mason. And, or if they're not, perhaps their father was, or like here with Ruth Stafford Peale, her husband was a Mason. Of course, they're still promoting it, and she's been written up in the Masonic Journal at least twice now. So, you know, these are the type people that they used. And like you mentioned, the Time Warner, of course, they're another Illuminist type group. They're the ones that printed the book. And their logo, by the way, is that all-seeing eye, which is a cult and Masonic symbol.
You mean the all-seeing eye we see on the back of our dollar bill, the all-seeing eye that is now being used by Admiral Poindexter for this new project that he has to watch over all of us with the computers that they're talking about, where everything we buy and every travel arrangement we make and every telephone we call will all be on that nice military computer?
That's the same
all-seeing eye. Well, they keep pulling that up again and again and again, don't they?
Well, they do, but see, this is one of their favorite symbols to signify Lucifer. And, of course, like Time Warner, like I mentioned, they use this, and they fund this Council on Foreign Relations. They gave at least $1 million to the New American Schools Development Corporation, and they gave at least $100,000 or more to the Points of Light Foundation.
Points of Light, now that was the term that George Herbert Walker Bush used when he was running for president, 1,000 Points of Light. The average individual didn't understand that was an occult concept. In fact, didn't Alice Bailey, a Luciferian, really write and talk about the Points of Light?
Right, I believe that's probably about the first place you can trace it to was in her writings. You may have found it on a rare occasion, not necessarily where it's points of light, but in a context that would refer to lights and points. You can find it in earlier writings, but she was the main one that publicized this. And, of course, the first chairman for the Points of Light Foundation was J. Richard Monroe, who was the former chairman for none other than Time Warner.
Well, you know, it's so interesting. I think when that phrase was used, all the loyal Republicans, of course, supporting Bush's presidency, thought that he was talking about 1,000 people out there, each working to do good, not understanding that both the phrase 1,000 points of light and, of course, the New World Order both came from Alice Bailey, who was associated, first of all, with the Lucifer Publishing House, and then, of course, the Lucius Trust. And anybody who would like to check these things out, in every major city in America, there's a metaphysical bookstore. We have several here in our community. You can go down and get Alice Bailey's writings and read about them, and or Tex Mars has done a very good book, a very good summary of a lot of this in some of his writings, and he will actually quote, give you the exact places where you can go to Alice Bailey's writings and get the reference to the 1,000 points of light. Isn't it strange that none of the media picked up on that, but even more frightening, none of our Christian leaders picked up on that?
No, in fact, well, another one that endorsed or gave a tribute in this book was Chuck Colson, and he wrote an endorsement, and he refers to the points of light in a very good context. He thinks it's a wonderful idea.
Well, he may not know. I mean, Chuck seems to be in that very...
Well, he was in with the government, so he had a pretty high position
there. Well, he really did under Nixon, didn't he? But,
yes.
You know, he certainly... there's so many people who... they can just see these things. They're right in front of them. They're hidden in plain sight, and they don't recognize it until somebody points it out. I dare say that, you know, not one in a hundred Americans really understands the significance on the symbol of the back of the dollar bill until you point it out to them, and then suddenly they can begin to question what that is and begin to understand it.
That's true. I mean, a lot have no idea. They see it there every day, and just don't even, you know, it's just part of life, and all they care about is that the money in it is
right,
one that they
right.
can spend. But now referring, going back to Bush with the points of light, even now, as you've mentioned already, that he was a Skull and Bones member. Now, he's another one given a tribute. But I think
we're talking about Herbert Walker, aren't we?
Yes, the father
right.
to the current president. I think it's interesting because his secret Skull and Bones name was actually Magog, which was the name that was usually given to the Bones men considered to have the most sexual experience. And it was during Bush's presidency that he appointed more than 350 CFR and Trilateral Commission members, the high-level positions. And, of course, we all should remember this phrase from September 11, 1990, where he said that a new world order can emerge, that a new world order is struggling to be born. But what I think is also interesting is when Bush did decide on the Persian Gulf War, he sent a message to Billy Graham, and which said, "Come, we need you." Then he also had Graham to preach the sermon, and in this sermon, Graham said this, quote, "Perhaps out of this war will come a new peace, and has been stated by the president, a new world order."
Well, of course, the new world order that that George Herbert Walker Bush is touring about will be the one, in my estimation, that will be headed by the Antichrist. I suspect that Billy Graham really didn't know what it was all about. So many people will pick up a phrase like that, but there is a move to create a one-world government. It's been around for 6,000 years. It started out in ancient Babylon when they were building the temple of under Nimrod. But right now, if you read occult literature as I do, every occultist is looking forward to the establishment of this coming one-world government. And I'm going to get Dr. Burns' opinion on that when we get back. But right now, of course, this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener supported, and certainly we need your help as we reach out across America to try to make Christians understand that there is a spiritual battle going on, and many, many good people can be drawn into this unknowingly. Many good people will support bad causes, but there are some people out there who know exactly what they're doing. And of course, they're using others to push this idea of a new world order, and with it, a new world religion. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that there is coming a time when Christianity in America is going to come under control. One of the things they want to do is convince everybody nothing bad is ever going to happen to Christians in America. Oh, bad things are going to happen to Christians elsewhere, but never here. God would never let anything bad happen to Christians. That's just the message they preached in Hitler's Germany back in the 1930s and 1940s. And if you haven't read Erwin Lutzer's book, Hitler's Cross, we carry that must reading, especially the parts about the use of Romans 13 to get the church to justify supporting Adolf Hitler, and why the Christians didn't speak out when they were taking away the other Christians to concentration camps, because 12 million others died besides just simply the Jews, which we never talk about the 12 million others, most of whom are Christians who perished in the concentration camps, because that might disturb why the people here in America. They might realize that one day they will be the ones in the boxcars. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we hope many of you want to join the Radio Liberty family, and you do that by calling us at 1-800-544. Join us in this epic struggle to try to awake the American Christians from their lethargy, or whether you're a Christian or not, help us to get the truth out across America. Again, our number is 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because we are under attack today. Well, let me tell you about some of the four tape sets we have. One special tape set is the Tuskegee Study, and it's four interviews with people who were involved with the Tuskegee Study, or at least who've gone into the background of this really most horrible of all American experimentation. We had the unique opportunity to interview a number of the men who were involved in analyzing the Tuskegee Study, a government-sponsored study where 400 black men were recruited. They had syphilis, and of course, what they did not understand is that they were not being recruited to be treated. They were being recruited not to be treated, and the government agents did everything they could to block those men from receiving treatment for their syphilis. Call today at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's important that you understand that study so you can better understand the mentality of the men who are working behind the scenes in America today. Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Dr. Kathy Burns. And, of course, we carry several of Kathy's books. We carry her book on Freemasonic and occult symbols. And if you haven't read that, you need to, because so many of the symbols you'll see on television, so many of the symbols you'll see on the written page, the symbols you'll see people wearing all have their occult origin in ancient Babylon or ancient Egypt. And the average American has no concept at all of their significance. And then, of course, we carry the book, The Secrets of the Eastern Star, going into the background of this organization for women, the wives of members of the Masonic Lodge. We carry her book, certainly on Alcoholics Anonymous. We do carry Billy Graham and his friends. So if you're interested, of course, in getting any of these books, why, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. We carry a book on hell. Every Christian should read this book because it's simply based upon the scriptures, and the scriptural record of what Jesus said about hell. The message that you will almost never hear in our churches today, because people don't like to hear that. It doesn't sell very well, and that's why so many people are going there, because, of course, they have no idea what the scriptures really say. We just don't talk. In fact, I remember hearing one of our leading ministers say on a recorded message that they used to, when he was young, they used to talk sermons about hell, but they don't do it because it doesn't sell well anymore. Well, I don't think we have to sell Christianity. Our job is to, and the job of ministers is to, just simply proclaim the word of the Holy Scriptures. And whether people are like it or not is not as important as what we're doing to preserve them and to try to preserve society and prevent people from spending eternity in a place of eternal damnation. So, Dr. Burns, of course, were there some other people that were on the list that the Time Warner recruited in this list of people that were recruited to counter your book?
Well, Jimmy Carter, President Jimmy Carter, another CFR and Trilateral Commission member. And, of course, as a politician, Carter was a supporter of the Feminist Equal Rights Amendment, the July 1976 issue of Playgirl, and I don't get it, it's just a quote. but they called him their feminist candidate because he pledged to support virtually every issue of importance to women's movement. Like, Carter claims to be against abortion, He refused to oppose the funding of abortions, and then after his election, he actually appointed a pro-abortion activist who was Sarah Weddington to the position of assistant to the president. And she was the lead attorney in the Roe versus Wade, which resulted in the legalization of abortion. So, you know, here's this man, and of course he said he doesn't want to legalize marijuana, but then he said he didn't want to decriminalize it either, so someone possessing it would really not be a criminal. And we are told there was one author who summed up Carter's 1976 campaign like this. It says, quote, "The Carter platform is, in fact, tailor-made to bring socialism to America. And while the vast body of voters has no idea this is true, one group has seen through the path being ground out for the masses to the lean Marxist meat on the inside. 3 days after the amazing Mr. Carter tied a bright red bow around the Democratic Convention, the Socialist Party of America, now marching under the more acceptable banner of Social Democrats USA, endorsed the forward-thinking ticket of Jimmy Carter and Walter Mondale."
But of course, he was the candidate of David Rockefeller, head of the Council on Foreign Relations, member of the Bilderbergers, founder of the Trilateral Commission. Certainly, David Rockefeller and Brzezinski, his right-hand man, picked Jimmy Carter, schooled him, and then used the media to create this obscure Georgia governor and propel him into the White House. I mean, certainly anybody who knows that Jimmy Carter never won the election. It was won for him by the media that was dominated by the Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, and the Bilderbergers. And this whole thing was simply engineered by the establishment that for one reason or another wanted him in there. And of course, it was under the Carter administration that we toppled the Shah of Iran, that we toppled the government in Nicaragua and brought the Sandinista to power, the communist Sandinista. It was under that same administration that we laid the foundation for the war in Iraq, the war in Afghanistan that created al-Qaeda. It was in July of 1979, when Jimmy Carter was the president, that we began financing the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, and that prompted the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan in December of 1979, which led to the Afghan war, which led to al-Qaeda, which led to the terrorist attack on America. So, you know, of course you can say, well, he didn't know what he was doing. I don't think he did. I think he was simply a puppet for the man who directed his foreign policy, a man named Zbigniew Brzezinski.
Right. He was, in his book, Brzezinski's book, Between Two Ages, he wrote this: "Marxism represents a further vital and creative stage in the maturing of man's universal vision. Marxism is simultaneously a victory of the external active man over the inactive passive man and a victory of reason over belief. The nation-state is gradually yielding its sovereignty. Further progress will require greater American sacrifices. More intensive efforts to shape a new world monetary structure will have to be undertaken, with some consequent risks to the presently favorable American position," unquote. And of course, Carter, again, was a puppet. Most of our presidents are. But Carter himself supposedly is this born-again Christian, but he says that homosexuality, he thinks it's a sin, but he sees nothing wrong with a so-called, quote-unquote, Christian homosexual being ordained. So what I think was interesting, though, again, is how does Billy Graham feel about Carter? Well, he writes this, quote, "I grew to like him as a person and to respect both his intelligence and his genuine and unashamed Christian commitment," unquote. And then he said he was a leader that we could trust and follow. He also said this of Carter, "a man of faith and sterling integrity. He was undoubtedly one of our most diligent presidents, persistent and painstaking in his attention to his responsibility," unquote. And then another quote, he said, "since leaving office, Mr. Carter has continued to carry out his responsibilities as a Christian," unquote. Of course, Carter was also the one who chaired Graham's crusade in 1994. Graham tells us this, he said, "when my plans for another crusade in Atlanta in 1994 first began to take shape, Jimmy Carter gladly agreed to serve as the honorary chairman. He was on the platform the opening night in October in the New Georgia Dome and spoke for several minutes to the audience," unquote. So again, we can see why he's one of those who would endorse Graham or pay a tribute to him. It's both of them paying tribute to each other in many cases. One will brag Graham up, Graham will then brag them up, and it's just back and forth. But these are the type people mentioned in this book. Not all. but a good number of them.
In other words, you're talking about the new book. Billy Graham's Friends, which is certainly a list published by Times Warner. Really part of this whole world occult movement, in my estimation. And, of course, you would wonder why they would be so interested in countering your book, which, you know, your book certainly well-written, but it's not going to be on the bestseller list. It never will be, because you can't get the information out. And is it available on Amazon.com or the others?
I would believe it is. I don't know. I'm not on the Internet, but I think they're selling it.
All right, fine. Well, don't they have to get it through you, though, or can they get it through the
public? They get it through Spring Arbor, and Spring Arbor and Ingram carry my book.
All right, fine. Well, of course, if Spring Arbor and Ingram carry it, why, then it should get a pretty good coverage. Well, if for anybody out there in the audience is listening, interested in getting Dr. Byrne's book, we do carry that. We don't carry the one by Times Warner, which, of course, will be in most bookstores, but you can either order the book through your local Christian bookstore. It's called Billy Graham and His Friends, not Billy Graham's Friends. And it's interesting how they play these games over and over again. And, of course, the average person has no idea what they're doing. Isn't that true?
That's true. And as far as this book, again, I think it just really proves that I was right on. Well, I had over 4,400 footnotes in the book. Some of those footnotes contained up to 40 references per footnote. So they really could not counteract it in any way. There was nothing they could say. And the best thing to do is just basically, I guess, take a title close to mine and hope that people would not get my book, that they'd buy this other book, and it looks like Billy Graham's this wonderful icon of virtue again, you know.
Well, reality is usually scoffed at, and illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion. That'll determine what the future will bring. Dr. Burns, do you have any parting thoughts for our listeners this evening?
Well, the Bible gives us many warnings, such as, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, 2 Corinthians 6:14. We're also told, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, Ephesians 5:11. As individuals, I think we need to learn not to put our trust in men, because they can and often will fail us. Psalm 118:8 says, it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And when we sit men up on pedestals and think they are so wonderful, and then we discover that they've deceived us or failed us, it's easy to become discouraged and disillusioned. If we could just take our eyes off of man and keep our trust in God alone, we'd be much better off. And the Lord has promised that He would never fail nor forsake us. And this is not just a warning to those who have idolized Billy Graham. It's to anyone who's putting their trust in any person, whether it be the president, the TV and radio personalities, or even you or me. People are bound to fail and to disappoint. So let's remember to keep our eyes focused on Jesus and on Him alone, the author and finisher of our faith.
All right. Well, thank you so very much for being with us. Our guest has been Dr. Kathy Burns, and thanks very much for being with us again. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay, fine. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is a controversial subject, and certainly I wanted you to hear about this new book. I think it's so interesting. The Times Warner, one of the most establishment, let's put it that way, organizations in this country, would, of course, see fit to go ahead and put out a book with almost the same exact title. Why? Well, we'll let you figure that out on your own. And right now, of course, we want you to ask you to pray for America. And we ask you to pray for revival in America, because if the American people don't turn back to God, why, this country is going to be destroyed. And then we ask you to pray for our ministers, because they should be leading this truly spiritual battle. We ask you to pray for our leaders, whether you like them or not, because the Bible tells us to pray for our leaders, and who knows what effects your prayers may have, perhaps touching the heart of some of the people within these occult organizations working at the highest levels of our government. And lastly, we ask you, of course, to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so, until next week at the same time, we'll be back with you on Monday. May the Lord be with you.
planning on. We've got the people coming, and if it turns out, we'll have it. So, I would think of Brad Dacus, who would be with the Pacific Justice Institute. And, he might either be able to take it or know somebody who would. Brad Dacus with the Pacific Justice Institute, and we do a program with it. Do you have access to the internet? PacificJustice.org.